I've just been following with such horrified fascination the killing of George Floyd and the subsequent events, the protests around the world, the extraordinary lack of leadership from Donald Trump. I mean, it makes me, I feel the gorge rising in my throat as I think of some of the things that he has said and tweeted and done. The deep, objectionable, obscene cynicism of clearing protesters away with tear gas and rubber bullets, peaceful protesters, so that he can walk in the eye of the television camera holding a Bible, which is something in which he does not believe at all, and to stand in front of a church. Hypocrisy of the worst kind. I got, though, what I thought was a very useful email from a listener. I watched with horror as I saw the brutality involved in the death of George Floyd in America. The total lack of compassion and the arrogance shown by the arresting officer was quite sickening. One can understand why the people of the USA have taken to the streets to vent their frustration against a system that time and time again seems to be biased against the black population. In many ways, though, it's similar to the equally horrific death of Collins Khoza here in South Africa, killed after being assaulted by the South African National Defence Force. He was sitting on a deck chair in his own backyard, quite legally, drinking beer. The difference here is that while the US official was immediately and rightly removed from his post and is now charged with third-degree murder, here in South Africa, there was no action against the Defence Force officers who killed Khoza. The commanding officer was silent, the head of the Defence Force was silent, even the minister raised no objection whatsoever to this brutal death. It took a court order requested privately by the Khoza family to order an inquiry into the matter, which inquiry was peremptory to say the least, and as is typical in South Africa, found that the perpetrators had done nothing wrong at all. As an aside, the Defence Minister, Nosiviwe Mapisa-Nqakula, has said that there is no finding. Excuse me, but there was a finding absolving the soldiers involved from any complicity because the inquiry, the Board of Inquiry, found that there was no link between his death and what the soldiers did to him, and that was attached to an affidavit in court. But the minister says that they are still busy. There is no report. To go back to the email, even our president, Cyril Ramaphosa, said nothing at the time. However, he remedied that silence on Sunday, the 31st of May. While speaking to members of SANEF, he stated, and I quote, "They, the police, let their enthusiasm get the better of them." Now, this morning, to my complete surprise, this reached me yesterday, the ANC has requested that Ramaphosa engage the US government, adding that the death of Floyd has sharpened the focus on inescapable realities that American society places a perilously low value on black lives. Really? Are these the same members of the ANC who remain silent after the death of Collins Khoza and the other deaths that have occurred as a result of the authorities' enthusiasm under lockdown? Ferial Hafaji, Daily Maverick associate editor, has written about the enthusiasm, quote from Cyril Ramaphosa. Ferial, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, John.
I mean, how does one explain the almost complete lack of criticism from the ruling party and from the government of the death of Collins Khoza and the death of others? Petrus Michels was the first of them to die at the hands of the police.
I find it quite unbelievable because we've been trying to get a response from the police minister, Becky Cele, because 11 other people have died, and also the woman in Cape Town at the Mowbray police station, and in addition to Collins Khoza, and neither the police minister nor the defence minister, and then, shockingly, when I was listening on Sunday, not the president either. And when the president called these acts of over-enthusiasm, I wondered, what is getting to him in the cabinet meetings? What kind of information has he seen? The numbers of arrests? Has he seen the numbers of allegations of police brutality, either in cells or during protest action or at food deliveries? Because I thought that was a gobsmacking way of describing a very, very difficult trend that we're seeing.
Why don't Black Lives Matter more to the government? They say they do. Every policy document they put out centers the poor black person as needing upliftment and blah, 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 blah. But when it comes to putting putting actions to the words, they seem absent. The black people's lives, I mean, Marikana, I could run through a list of 20 engagements over the last several years between police and protesters, which indicate that law enforcement officials place no value on black lives, and there's so little sanction of the law enforcement officials that one is tempted to believe that those in political charge don't care much about poor black lives either.
And I guess it goes to our entire society, because you've seen the second knee and the Black Lives Matter hashtags also trending across our social media, which has become a form of 21st century activism. But nowhere near, you don't see any of that kind of opprobrium against what's happened, not only during this lockdown, but which is generally a fact of our lives. And perhaps that's why we've become inured to this violence. Last year, the journalist Daniel Kotzer of Viewfinder showed how only 1% of cases of police violence and various other forms of ill discipline do in fact even get to an investigation stage, and what police were doing were rapidly closing those files to improve the statistics. When we asked the police minister about this, he really fly swatted it away, John, and said that these were mere allegations. He's, of course, much prouder of the rapid declines in crime, which we saw in the heavier part of the lockdown.
I still can't wrap my head around why there haven't been, well, I mean, I kind of know why there haven't been protests in the streets. And there has. The community of Alexandra did protest. They did march.
Yes.
But it was a very short-lived and a very localized protest.
Yeah, it's not anything that has caught on, like you've seen in the U.S., city to city, become a national and also an international issue. Not at all. Is it because it's the black government which is overseeing a regime of security force violence that's recognized by the U.S. now as one of the worst in the world, especially in the periods of COVID-19? And this year, they've called it a toxic lockdown. Perhaps that explains it. But I do think it's something that at least as the media, we need to keep in the front of the agenda.
Yeah, I don't know. What is it? Why are so many police? And this is not to tar every single law enforcement officer at municipal level or SAPS or SANDF, not to tar them all with the same brush. I have had many conversations with people who have been stopped in roadblocks and have been dealt with by people who show the utmost civility and respect and courteousness to them. But there are so many who seem to think that the uniform, the badge, makes them, I don't know, completely and absolutely gives them freedom to act as they like.
Julia, I mean, a couple of weeks ago, we did a special report called The Jackboot, where we tried to find all these incidents of videos which have come to the fore of police pulling a kid away from his parents in Ballito, of a father of a toddler in Cape Town being who had toddled onto the beach, having his whole family taken into jail. We've seen so many incidents of this in the course of the past 3 months that it does make you wonder if the police actually have ever become a service, or if they remain that apartheid police force with their approaches to civilian policing never ever having changed in 26 years.
I mean, really, I don't know what's going on with the report, which isn't a report, the report which is attached as part of an affidavit to a court, which would seem to give it some standing. But now the defense minister saying that they've returned the report back to the board inquiry because it didn't meet some of the frames, some of the criteria for the report. I mean, essentially, I hope this is the Defense Ministry being aware of how poorly they're coming across here and in a subtle or not so subtle way saying, come on, you cannot find that there is no link between Collins Khoza's death and what Defense Force soldiers did to him in the half an hour before his death.
One hopes so, because both the military ombud as well as IPED, the police watchdog for the public, have really become very anemic at what they're supposed to be doing. And I certainly do hope that what you're going to see is that civil society will take this up in one or other form, be it class action on behalf of all the people who have died, or people who face having criminal records now because of really minor infringements, that this will somehow eventually end up in court and force more muscular action. It's worth noting that the judge, Hans Fabricius, who did the Collins Causa judgment, has said that the police and defense force should come up with a new code of conduct. I saw the police minister waving it about at a press conference, but that hasn't ever been made public in the way that the judge said it should be.
Feryal Haffagee, thanks very much for talking to us this afternoon. Associate Editor for the Daily Maverick.